Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio with your wonderful host. At least I think I'm wonderful, but nevertheless, this is Dr. Happy, Leah Killings for some. Nevertheless, call me what you want. Just make sure you call me a child of God. And I am very, 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 very excited on this wonderful Monday night, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again. But nevertheless, we are here. So I'm very happy that you decided to tune in. So if this is your very first time, our goal is to make sure that we are always encouraging, that we leave an encouraging word. So we want to make sure that you are educated in some way. And then we want to make sure that you're empowered to do whatever it is that God lays on your heart, to make the necessary changes, and then not keep it, but to share it with someone else. So our plug or tagline, if you will, is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. Now, again, as I said, always, 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 we want to make sure that we have an encouraging word. So we talk about the word, the actual word, amen. And so that's always going to be encouraging. And then we want to make sure that we educate you. Well, it may not be a brand new topic or something you never heard about, but definitely one that God will allow you to see and hear and feel what it is that he would like for you to learn from the lesson. And maybe expound a little bit more so that you'll have a better understanding. And then be empowered to make the necessary changes from hearing that empowering word. And then be careful that when you make those necessary changes, that you don't keep it to yourself, but that you share it with someone else so that they can be empowered to make the necessary changes too. So thank you, thank you, thank you. How have you logged in? How have you dialed in? Thank the person that invited you. And if it was me, amen, you can just pray for me. But nevertheless, I'm grateful that you're here. For those of you that have been on with me, can you believe this is going into our 12th year? 12 years we've been in the same vein, on the same platform. We changed the hour, a half hour a little bit because we were on at 9:30 versus 9. But nevertheless, you have been with me. And whether you've been with me for 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years or 5 years or 8 years or the whole 11 and a half years, nevertheless, I know that you have prayed for me, that you've encouraged me, that you've empowered me, praise God, to continue to study so that I can rightly divide God's word. But not necessarily just to teach the word, but you help me along the way to make sure that I see things clearly so I can be empowered to change too. And so for that, I say thank you. Now, there's so many of you because we've been doing this for quite a while, so I can't call everyone by name, but I do call two names in particular. That's Tammy and Jesse Stewart, because without them, I wouldn't have known that this was a platform for me, nor would I have had the encouragement or the whatever it is, faith, something, to be able to do it, because they just pushed me out there and said, yes, you can do this. God gave you a calling. Do it. And so they told me on Monday that I was on Friday, and I thought, oh, wow, okay, amen. I don't know how to do this, but nevertheless, I'll be ready Monday. And so nevertheless, that was almost 12 years ago, and so I'll always make sure that I acknowledge them because they continue to pray for me, and they continue to not only empower me, but other those young, old, it doesn't matter. They continue to empower and to bless people to do what God has called them to do. So I will always call them by name. Now, our greatest praise, though, has to go to God. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you understand it or not, he's all of our fathers. And so we always make sure we start with an upbeat psalm. I thank you for tuning in. We go to him in prayer before we start our lesson. So we want to make sure we give him his due. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious gift of life. Father, we don't take that lightly because many people didn't. And so we thank you, Father, that you chose us to live another day, to see what it is that you have for us to do, whether it was to smile at someone, whether it was to wave, whatever that was that we needed to do today. We thank you that we were part of your master plan. We pray, Father, that we will continue to acknowledge that you are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can absolutely, positively do nothing. So we thank you, Father, that you have given us so many things. And mainly, you gave us three main things that helps us stay focused and stay rooted in this system, and that is you gave us your word. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that it gives us insight, that it gives us eyesight, that it gives us everything that we could possibly need to be able to see you and to know you and to have an intimate relationship with you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to have part of you in us, which is the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for allowing yourself to be dumbed down, to come down to this planet, to do whatever it was. Oh, we can't even describe all the beatings and the harassment that you took, so that we could have an opportunity to have an experience, to have you reside in us. And for that, we say thank you. And then most importantly, I've already kind of said that you allowed yourself to be beaten and bruised and shed your blood on the cross so that we could have an opportunity to have power, to have authority, to do what we need to do to make sure that we understand that we have the right, amen, to govern and to guide and to lead in this system. And so we just thank you, Father, that you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that you're our shepherd so we never have to want. But we have to remain in you and allow your word to remain in us so that we can have those things that we desire. So again, Father, we just love you, we honor, we adore you. We thank you there'll be no distractions, there'll be no delays, that you allow this word to be so powerful and so cut through that it will permeate our hearts and allow us to operate and live better than we were before we dialed in. And so without it, we just thank you again for allowing us to understand your word. And I pray, Father, that you would give me what you have me to have to say, to make sure that I remove myself if I could do that even, Lord. But to let you speak through my vocal cords and allow you to minister through my mind and my heart the words that you desire for to be said tonight, so that it will be a rhema word not just tonight, but for those that are listening to the broadcast, whether it be 2 weeks or 2 years from now, or 10 years for that matter. But nevertheless, allow your word to make sure that we make the necessary changes. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy. We're Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm very excited on tonight for a couple of reasons. I'm always excited when I get an opportunity to share the gospel, so that will never go away. But more importantly, I'm excited for a couple of things. And first, like I said, there's so many people that listen in that I can't call everybody by name. But I do want to make a small little shout out to my new friend, Brother Russell. And so he celebrated his birthday. And so he is very, a very kind gentleman. And so I love birthdays. And so I take them very, very, very endearing. Only because, as I often said, you know, God didn't have to give us life. And so he allows us to live each day, and so we take advantage. And so to make it another year is a blessing. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. You know, I love Christmas, and I love Thanksgiving, and I love some of the holidays that we celebrate. But birthdays, amen, that's significant. And if we could see the value of being able to, whatever we went through, whatever we challenges or successes or whatever we've gone through, God blessed us to make it another year. Amen. That's something to shout about. And so I wanted to make sure that Brother Russell knows that we appreciate him and that we are thinking about him and that we appreciate all that he does. So happy birthday, Brother Russell. I also am excited because years ago, when I believe God had called me into ministry, at that time, Joyce Myers was the it thing. And so I thought, oh, wow, if I could be the black version of Joyce Myers, that would be super, super cool. But so fit, God didn't have that desire for me. And so then I thought, oh, wow, Juanita Bynum beat me to it. And so I used to follow her ministry, and she was amazing. And so, of course, you know, those of you that know her story, she kind of went through a whole lot of stuff. And so she kind of was on the back burner for a little while. She kind of was silent for a little while. And so yesterday I had the privilege to hear her speak. And it was so moving to me, the story that she gave and the testimony that she gave. And it gave me peace and it gave me pause because it made me think about my journey. And it made me think about all the things that I've had to endure over the course of the years, you know, losing my parents at a young age, you know, losing a sister. So, I mean, before I was 16, I'd had, like, major immediate deaths in my family, you know, just kind of feeling empty and lost for many years. And then how God just constantly kept people before me that kept me encouraged and kept me focused that could have totally been depressed and just really out of my mind. You know, having so many losses, and I was the oldest, and so I felt a little responsible for my younger sisters, and so we did a few things that we were responsible, but nevertheless, God continued to carry me. And then, of course, I was able to go to college. I still don't know how that happened, but nevertheless, he blessed me to do that. And then I kind of crashed because I had been faking all that time that, you know, things were wild, you know, well, and things were great. But inside and internally, it kind of surfaced. And so the manifestations of me not being well started to surface. And so in the interim of all of that, I do believe God had called me to minister, because I gave my life to Christ at 11. And so I knew then that I had insight. I knew that I had visions and that I had dreams that came true. But I kept it to myself because the enemy was talking to me too, and he made me always believe that the more he revealed to me, God revealed to me, that he was going to reveal more to me. And so, like I said, this transition of me starting to be ill, and I couldn't quite grasp why God would allow me to go blind, why God would allow me to even go through the process of being delivered and healed and set free, and miraculously healed and delivered and set free after doctors said that it could not be humanly possible. How he just one day just changed on a dime. It was as fast as it started, as fast as it stopped. But nevertheless, I still had to go through challenges and dramas of losing stuff and losing houses and cars and, I mean, just stuff. And then to then get COVID, cancer, two strokes, and a heart attack, I was confused. But I thought, nevertheless, he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me, and I continued to press. But it wasn't until last night that I heard Juanita Bodnar's story. And I kind of knew where she was going, because I had heard the same thing when somebody had ministered to me, that sometimes God allows good, bad things to happen to good people. Because I've always been happy and been on this track record of trying to make other people happy. But I never quite grasped what it meant. And I remember a mentor told me, she's like, Leah, you don't put them happy faces down and actually put on one. Stop pretending to be happy, you're going to be happy. Well, nevertheless, amen, it came to pass where I became happy. But I kept going through challenges, and I couldn't quite understand. And so a gentleman told me, he said, you know, God allows people to go through certain things that he knows that they can handle, because he'll never put anything on you more than you can handle. Amen. So you hear that, amen, you read that, amen, but still something just didn't set right. But yesterday, when I was listening to Juanita Bodnar, now mind you, her story was extra. And so it was broadcast nationally. And so they saw her ups, they saw her downs, they saw her fall to the ground. And she explained how God had to allow her to go through all of that for her to really see him. And I thought, wow. Now, I knew that when God delivered me, because literally I could not see him, that he delivered me. And my ministry was, at that time, God allowed me to heal my physical vision, or he allowed me to have to lose my vision to gain spiritual vision. So that was my running thing. I lost my vision to gain spiritual vision. But the key was, what I really heard her say yesterday was, in the midst of us going through certain things, sometimes we say we know God, but we really don't know who he is. Because if we really knew who he was, we would do a whole lot better. And we would do a whole lot more things differently if we really believed what we were saying. And so she said during that process where she was going through on the back burner, that God allowed her to see that she wasn't hovering enough over the word. And so she gave major analogies on how God hovered over the earth before he brought it to form and gave it life and all the things that we see today, how he hovered, and how sometimes we don't hover enough in the spirit, how we don't hover enough in our prayer time, we don't hover enough in our quiet time when we read and study the things of God. We're quick to do everything. We read a couple of scriptures and amen, we're Christians, and we run to the races. We go to church. I've been to church. I'm a Christian, and we run to the races. But how many of us are actually paying attention to what God is actually saying when he is speaking? And so as she was speaking, as she was talking, me and my daughter were sitting on the floor, and she was doing her gathering or whatever she was doing for the day, for today. And I was getting ready for my process for the day. But in the midst of something she said, I had to write it down, because I don't even know what she said, but I knew God had told me to write these two words down. And it was insight, eyesight. And so I asked my daughter, I said, did you hear what she said? And she's like, no, what did she say? I said, did you hear her say insight? And she said, no. So then I knew that that was for me. And so she said, well, are you going to use that tomorrow in your broadcast? I said, well, you know, I have quite a few things that I want to talk about that I believe God has laid on my heart to talk about. But the more I started to look up that word insight and eyesight, and then to put it with my own story and then listening to her story, I had a better understanding. And so when we talk about insight, insight is a deeper level of understanding and understanding God's principles if we do it from a spiritual perspective. It's seeing how things fit together, more so spiritual things, and understanding and seeing the bigger picture of what God has planned for us, and then developing an awareness how to apply the principles that he's given us so that we can be the Christians we claim to be on a daily basis. And so I thought about, Lord, well, what is the difference? And he said, the difference is that people see me, but they don't see me. And I thought, wow, that's deep. So that went to the scripture of, you know, you can have eyes and not see and have ears and not hear. And I thought, wow, Lord, this is incredible, because I'm struggling with a few things now. And so, I have several people that I can, you know, really kind of go to, and everybody kind of gives, you know, their different perspectives on different things. But I have one friend that always suggests to me, she's like, well, you listen to too many people's insights. And I thought that word was interesting because God brought it to me. You have to be keen on what God is saying. And so like Miss Juanita Bynum, I had to think long and hard, why is it that God has put me in the place and put me in a position to experience all the things that I've experienced? And it's not just me, because I can only speak from my reference, but I want you to think about your own situations. Think about the challenges and the things that you go through that you just don't understand. I'm a good person. I do the right things. Why do these things keep going in the opposite direction for me? And maybe you have to ask yourself the question that Dr. Bynum and myself have asked, and I'm sure with many other people, is, Lord, what am I missing? What am I missing? What are you telling me that I'm not really seeing or hearing or doing, for that matter? And then what do I need to do to fix that? Because I think if we really, really, really had insight of who God really was, we'd be afraid to sin. But I don't think that we really see him or see the significance of his power. We know that his grace is sufficient. Praise God for that. Because many of us would be dropping dead if we really, really, really just, you know, stood back and just thought about the awesomeness of God. And then praise God for the sacrifice. Because if it hadn't been for the sacrifice, we would be dropping dead, because the grace and the mercy that came from that sacrifice gives us what we need so that we can lie and keep moving, steal and keep moving, kill and keep moving, and still call ourselves Christians. Now, I've often said there's other ways to kill, steal, and destroy people. Our tongues are deadly beasts, and we say and do a lot of things to cut people, to hurt people. And many times, and I've witnessed, I just have never been able to capture this, and I do think it's kind of cool how you can cut people up with your words and still be smiling, and people have to, like, go home and think about, did she really cut me up with her words? Amen. That's probably not the best thing, as far as God hasn't allowed me to do that. But nevertheless, sometimes we have that gift where we can just say things. I call it nice nasty. And I tell my sister she has a gift in that, because she can cut somebody up and be so professional and be so kind. And it takes you a minute to realize, did she really say? But nevertheless, insight. We have to have insight, and that's where discernment comes from. And I don't think we pray enough and ask God for discernment, for just simple things. We think that, some of us know because we studied, that discernment is a gift. But sometimes it's just wisdom to be able to know when we should put things down, when we should stop doing a thing, when we really need to give God grace and give God glory and to do what he's actually called us to do. And that's why insight is so important. We say that we have sight, but do we really see? Do we have insight? Well, I like that, you know, like I said, I always look up words because I'm a teacher by nature. But it says spiritual insight can mean discernment, which I kind of said, and understanding. Although discernment is a consequence of understanding, the insight is also known within, with reading within. It says insight has two characteristics, precision and accuracy. I like that it reflects 2 Timothy 2:7. It says, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. And so it's not some, but it's all. And that's the cool thing about God. He doesn't leave us hanging. Now, it may seem like it because we have to wait sometimes to get it, but he is full in all of his revelation. We just have to be quiet enough and be still enough, almost like what Dr. Bynum was saying. We have to hover. We have to spend enough time in the Word, spend enough time in his presence so that we can have a clearer understanding and we can really feel what the discernment that he's actually saying. Now, oftentimes, I know, even include myself, that I forget that we have to remember that eye is the lamp of the body. Our eyes, if you have good eyesight according to the Word, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, then your body is kind of dim and kind of lives in the darkness. And so when God gives light to our eyes, he's giving us light. He's giving us life. And so when we read the Word and we associate who he is and the knowledge of who he is and what he did for us and why it's important for us to do what he's called us to do, then I think that we would live our lives and experience life a whole lot different. And so I like that Dr. Bynum gave a testimony about how she was in her prayer time, and her sister called and said that her nephew had been in a bad car accident, and how she said because she had been hovering and because she had been in deep prayer, she had seen that her nephew was not going to die. She didn't know what was going to happen, or she didn't even know he was going to be in a car accident. But she knew he wasn't going to die. And so she told the sister, go pray for him. Go make sure you anoint him and don't allow anybody to say that he's going to die. And so the sister would call back and say, yeah, they say he's not going to make it. And she said, what did God say? And she had to keep reminding her, what did God say? And so, of course, we have to be careful when we speak over stuff. So sometimes when we, you know, we're not going to make this, or we're not going to be able to achieve this, or we're not going to get this, then sometimes we have a way, because our words have life, and we give power to that thing. And you know, the enemy really wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and he doesn't want us to believe God. So he's going to do whatever he can to create more doubt and to create more division, if you will, so that we will doubt the things that God has said. And so, long story short, the boy lived, but it took a while for him to come into his full manifestation, but it was because more and more things that the doctors kept saying, and he kept defying belief, that his family, the rest of the family, started to believe, and some of the doctors and the nurses started to believe, and so their communication had to change. But had the sister not been obedient, because she didn't, Dr. Bynum didn't live in the town that they lived in, the sister did, and so she said, you got to do this, because the mama is messed up, she can't see straight. So you have to do this. You have to be the person to speak on behalf of God for the family. But nevertheless, it made me think about my situation and how a current situation. I've been trying to get a car for a long time, and I finally found one. And so I thought, oh, wow, okay, Lord, if this is you, then you'll work it out, because I'm not sweating over nothing anymore, because I've decided if God can deliver me all the things that he's done, then a car, are you kidding me? Yes, you have a whole lot of riches, a little bit of car that I want. It ain't nothing to you, so I'm going to give it to you. And so I looked and looked and looked, and it took a long time for me to figure out which one I want. And then I went back and forth, do I deserve this? Do I not deserve this? And since we do this to ourselves. But nevertheless, if God says that you can have it, then amen, go for it. And so you just got to believe, and you got to wait and be patient. So found the car. Amen. It's in another state. So I thought, I'm going to go fly and go get it and drive back. And so, again, like I said, I have really, really, really good friends. in this particular sense, she said, Leah, if you drive down there to get a naked car that you ain't never seen before, you don't know nothing about that. No, man, we won't be friends no more. You can't do that. I know you trust God and you believe God, but come on. You got to use wisdom. That ain't wisdom. I'm like, but he let me find it. She said, then call them and ask them where they live, deliver it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So call and amen. They delivered it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Wasn't fast enough. But now I'm stuck because, praise God, can't get insurance. So I'm like, okay, Lord, you said nothing's too hard for you. And you said, you let me find the car. You let them bring it here. And now I still can't get it because insurance is crazy high. And so because a couple months ago, we were in a really bad accident, and so we lost the car. But it wasn't my fault because it was the weather and it was slippery and everybody thought it was a pileup. But for whatever reason, on my driving record, they said it was my fault. So it's like, okay, so, Lord, I don't have time because they don't put that car back on the lot if I don't hurry up and find some insurance. But how do I refute that? And how do I go through the process? And I got to go to DMV. I got to dispute it. It happened a long time ago, so I don't even have the records. And so one of the ladies that I talked to over the weekend, she was like, baby, it's a lot more on your record than just that accident. And I'm like, well, what? And one of the accidents that's listed on my record, I was in the hospital, so there was no way I could be driving. So I'm like, Lord, if you brought the car here, you allowed me to get my mind fixed on a certain one, why now am I going through so many changes? Why did I go through so many channels? And it was, do you believe me? And I was like, well, you know I do. And it's like, well, then stop doubting. And put your keep your mouth off of stuff that you don't know what you're doing. Just be quiet. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to leave it in your hands. So I was like, I ain't going to worry about it. And so the more people I called, the more it was I had to put $2,000 down, $3,000 down. I'm like, $3,000 down? For insurance? Are you kidding me? I was like, the car payment is triple, quadruple. Now, I mean, I'm paying more for insurance than I'm paying for the car. And the Lord told me, wait, and quit putting your mouth on it. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to quit putting my mouth on it. So now I'm frustrated and I'm tired. Because I'm like, Lord, it just may not be meant. I'll just, you know, have to figure out how to get, you know, the A to B with this. You know, and I don't want to speak, you know, nasty. I'll be hard to, you know, get me A, B. She stopped on me quite a bit, and amen, she gave me challenges and gave me troubles. But amen, I still need to get to where I need to get to, and so I can't keep putting my mouth on it. But nevertheless, today, I said, Lord, this is the last time, because amen, I've exhausted, and now I'm putting myself in positions where they're lining up with each other. Well, you call this person, and this is what they gave you. So now they're giving me higher rates because they already know what those people's rates were. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm done. So amen. If the car goes back, that wasn't meant for me either. So I'm good. You said you divine. I'm just a branch. I can't be divine. You the branch. No, you divine. I'm the branch. So I can't do nothing without you, so I'm going to leave you alone. Well, today, the guy was on, and he was on for a long time. He just, you know, really, really was kind. And I think he's like, baby, I just, you know, I'm trying, but there's nothing I can do for you. I'm so sorry. And so I put on my phone, it was a text message, and it's like, are you still looking for insurance? And I thought, okay, you know, because now, you know, you do inquiries, and so 1,000 people have been texting me, you know, you need insurance, but this particular one looked different. And so, amen, no down payment. I could run around this room and shop. No down payment. All I have to do is allow him to put this app on my phone so that they could test my driving. And so, of course, you know, if my driving is great, then amen, it is what it is. But if it's not, then they have the right to drop me. So I'm like, sure, that's all I have to do. And it's in my budget. Amen, amen. Okay, so. Amen. So now I have insurance. So now I go get the car today, and they said, well, we're not quite ready yet, so you got to come back. But, amen, everything is done. And so I can rejoice in knowing that I was waiting and I was patient and I stopped putting my mouth on what God told me to keep my mouth off. And so sometimes we have to realize that the delay is not a denial and that a no doesn't necessarily mean no permanently. It just may be for right now. And so when we talk about insight, when we talk about eyesight, my eyes were going dim because the process was taking too long. But I do know that God looks high and low and that he's done it before. And I told one of my students today, I know that he can, I know that he will, and I know that he'll do it again. And so I don't doubt what God can do. Sometimes we just have to figure that out, and that comes from having insight, not eyesight, because if I looked at how I looked, amen, it wouldn't have been right. So which leads us to the story of the scripture line that God gave us for the lesson for tonight, and it comes from John 9. And so the story is, the chapter is kind of long. It's 41 verses, but I'm going to skip through some of them just because of time. But I want you to get the full gist of the story on how this particular man was born blind. And so it says, as Jesus went along, he saw a man that was blind from birth. His disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, that's interesting to me because it's like, how could a man be responsible for being that he wasn't even born? But nevertheless, if it was the man or his parents that he was born blind. And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. I shouted on that part because sometimes we don't understand why God does what he does. But if we had insight and we recognize that God wants the glory, and so sometimes it wasn't necessary for Juanita Bynum to go through that whole thing or whatever. Some of the things she could, you know, done some things differently. But at the end of the day, she's coming back, and she's coming back with a vengeance. Why? Now because she's been able to do what God has called her to do. And so she's believing that God is going to have her ministry, which she said some of it is already triple and quadruple from what she did before. But nevertheless, I can't speak for Juanita Bynum, only she can. I can speak for me. I know for me, amen, that God allowed me to lose my vision to gain spiritual vision because of that, I am more focused on the word. I'm more focused on the ministry that God called me to. Me going through the cancer, going through the strokes and all that wasn't necessarily for me as much as it was for my family because now they get to see that chick should be dead. But God delivered her. Why? Why did he deliver her? And so because of that, I have to use not my eyesight, my insight to know. I got to watch my steps. I got to watch the path that I'm on. I can't tell people God delivered me from cancer and then be acting tore up and caught up. I can't do that. I have a testimony to save and to salvage. And I'm sure you do too. I'm sure God has done things in your life that people are watching and their lives are dictated and predicated on whether they're going to live a faithful life to God or whether they're going to continue to be in sin with the enemy based on what you do, based on how you carry your sight. So are you going to walk with sight, just as natural sight, or are you going to walk with the insight, the spiritual sight that God gives and that God delivers you from? Amen. So yesterday, just a quick testimony. So we were watching, me and my sister were watching this movie, and the lady had cancer, and she was, she was just, you know, it was sad because she lost all her hair, but she looked weak, and she looked just worn. And it was like, I shouted, and she's like, what's wrong with you? And I said, I had to do on the numbers you did a couple years ago. She completely forgot. We were talking about something about how God's grace is sufficient. And I was like, looking at that woman, my God, I could have been that woman. But God allowed me to find that cancer early by having COVID. And people think, oh, COVID was horrible. It wasn't for me. Because had it not been for COVID, I would have never known. I shouldn't say never because God would have revealed it. But I wouldn't have known when he would have revealed it or how. But me having COVID allowed them to do a full body scan on my body. And they found that little spot of cancer that they were able to cut out. So I didn't have to do the chemo. I didn't have to do the radiation. I had to go through a lot of stuff to get to it. But nevertheless, I didn't have to suffer like this woman was suffering that we saw. And so that was enough for me to shout. And so when you think about all the things that God has delivered you from or prevented you from going through, you got to shout and give him praise because it didn't have to be that way. He could have allowed you to go to the end. Because, amen, at the end of the day, those of us that really claim we're Christians, we're still going to share the testimony. But what better way to say, this is what God snatched me out of? Amen. Back to the story. I sometimes go. But anyway, so it says, neither the man nor his parents said Jesus, but this is what happened. So the works of God might be displayed in him. And as the day we must do the work in him who sent me. And night is coming and no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, that's significant that he had to say that, is because during that time you couldn't work, on certain days, definitely the Sabbath. But he knew his assignment and he knew that he had to work. And it says that night is coming and no one can work. That was remarkable. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. And so after saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and he put on the man's eyes. That's deep too. Because how many of us would let somebody put deep? Do you remember a couple months ago, or maybe it was a year ago, when the man spit on somebody in the church and it went viral and people said he shouldn't have done that and blah, 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 blah. And the man got so much grief that he apologized. And so many of us in the Insight community, we wrote him and was like, are you kidding me? If God told you to do what you're supposed to do, that was for him to get his glory. But you buckle. You can't buckle when God tells you to do something if you believe God told you to do it. Amen. But you got to know that you hear him. But nevertheless, I don't believe that he just spit on the man on purpose. Well, at least I hope he didn't. But nevertheless, when God tells us to do something, we got to do it. And whether it seems weird or not, and I'm sure that man must have thought, what? Spit and put dirt on my eyes? And he said, and then he told him to go to the pool. So it wasn't like he put the dirt on his eyes or mud on his eyes and he was able to see immediately. He had to go somewhere. He had to get in the pool. And so, of course, the man was obedient. He went and washed. And when he came home, he could see. And so his neighbors and all of those were begging. And it's like, how did this happen? And of course, I'm paraphrasing because I'm moving on because, you know, I'm running out of time. But it says he insisted who it was that actually did it. And he said, the man they called Jesus put some mud and made some mud and put it on my eyes and told me to go to Shalom and wash it. So I went and washed it, and then I could see. And they were like, who is this man? Where is he? And he's like, I don't know. Amen. I'm glad I could see. So nevertheless, the Pharisees were mad because, of course, he ain't supposed to be healing nobody on the Sabbath. And then you claiming to be who you claiming to be. And so it's like, how you do that? You know, this man ain't from God. He don't even keep the Sabbath. Many times we forget because we don't have the right insight. We just have sight. God couldn't do that. He don't do that. Okay, Leah, so, you know, you had cancer, but you didn't really have cancer. You just had a little bit of cancer. So maybe that wasn't God that delivered that. Okay, so you can believe that if you want to, but I know what he did for me. And just as what your testimonies are, you know what he's done for you. And so when people come to you and say, well, you know, maybe we need to get a second opinion. So they went to the parents and like, is this the boy that, you know, you birthed? And was he blind from birth? And now he can see? And they was like, yeah, but then, of course, because they're scared too, because, you know, that wasn't supposed to happen. So it was like, well, he can speak for himself. Ask him. Let him speak for himself. And so, of course, they summoned the man to the second time, and they asked him, you know, who be this man that did this to you? And he said, again, I don't know. I told you. He told what to do, and I did it, and now I can see. And so because they were mad, they put him out. And they said, we know of the God that Moses speaks about, but we don't know where this fella comes from. So now, again, it is amazing that the man kind of laughed and kind of chuckled, at least the way that the version that I read, was like he wasn't bothered by these people saying that he wasn't who he said he was because he had evidence that he had the manifestation that God's hands had been on him. And so sometimes when people laugh and sneer and joke about me not wanting to do this or do that, I can laugh and sneer because I have insight. I'm not caring about the sight. I have insight. So when they said that, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing nothing because half of my brain is clogged from a clogged artery. God said that I was delivered and I was to move forward. I'm like, okay, well, Lord, only you can do this. Amen. So you did it several times. And so I'm not going to doubt. So I'm not going to operate with spiritual blindness. I'm going to walk in the insight that you gave me. And so praise God, I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger. And so who am I going to believe, God or am I going to believe man? And so we have to get to a point where we understand because God has given us so many stories from the New Testament to the Old about different testimonies about how people just believe. And he gave them sight. He gave them not only eyesight, but gave them insight. And so I'm sure in our current day, there are many testimonies that we've heard and many testimonies that we've experienced ourselves. Well, we have insight of who God is. So my challenge to all of us today is, are we going to be like the Pharisees and believe kind of what we kind of know about the man, you know, that Moses talked about? We go to church, we worship, and we read and we pray. But are we really doing it with the insight that God's in? Are we doing it just from the eyesight of, I'm a Christian and I go to church? And it was almost like a couple of weeks ago when I talked about, are you a Easter or CME? Are you a Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day Christian? I mean, is it just eventful for you and just cool to brag about? Or do you really want to serve the King of Kings? Do you really want to believe that he can do whatever he says he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it? Are you going to make sure that you reverence and are in awe with that person? Or are you going to do what you see, a student of mine, and I don't know if he's listening or not, but nevertheless, say I'm a Christian, and I'm like, well, if you're a Christian and you operate like he does, you can't do what you're doing and claim to be a Christian when you're hurting people. That's not God. God said that you're supposed to love one another. And so even if we do things that we have in disagreement with other people, there's a way to do it in love so that you don't hurt people. And so we have to be mindful that when we're doing things, that we think about the other person and we think about what we're saying and how we're communicating. Because sometimes, like I said earlier, we can cut people with our words, and we can cut up and they're bleeding on the inside, and we don't even realize that we've cut somebody. So we have to be really mindful of our words. We have to be mindful of our actions. And that's where insight comes from. Sight level, I told her off. But do you know what you really did? Do you know now that this person can have now complexes and doubt, who they are or what they've been called to do because we just loosely used our lips and didn't really do it in love? And so, again, I love that the bottom part of this scripture where it says, and Jesus says, for judgment, I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind. And the Pharisees were messed up, and they was like, wait, what? How are we blind too? And Jesus said, you were blind, and you would not be guilty. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. So if you're going to do bad, amen, and you can't see that, then amen, you're not operating in insight. You've got eyesight. He's like, But when you understand and you have the, and I like that God doesn't operate in guilt and condemnation. Praise God for that. He convicts, though. Amen. And that's heavy. Amen. But he doesn't condemn and he doesn't give guilt. And so when you want insight, it's like, Lord, I want to know when I'm doing things that are not right. I want to get my life right. I want to be right. I want to do the things that you called me to do. I want to speak love. Happy faces. Amen. I want to be the person that people enjoy being around because they see a part of you in me. I don't want people to say, she know how to cut a sister up or cut a brother up. That's not a compliment to me. That's not a compliment that I know how to swindle people. And that's why I had to leave sales because I couldn't do it anymore. I was good at it because I was convincing. But I was convicted every single time. I'm like, Lord, I'm lying to these people. It's because I don't believe in this stuff. And scary enough, kind of how I left some of the ministries I was in, too. I didn't believe what I was saying. Amen. I wasn't, completely committed to the church that I was at because there was a lot of stuff that they were doing that wasn't right. And so every time I taught a new members class, because I really believed, and I believe in Jesus. I believe in serving, and I believe that the church is there for the people. And when the church is not operating correctly, I have problems. And when I have problems with the church, amen, it's time for me to go because I don't believe in that. I don't believe in mixing fun and joke and playing with God stuff. I don't. Now, granted, God had to show me it's everything, whether it's work, whether it's playing, whether it's home, all of it. But I take church a little bit more seriously because people come there sick and they want to be delivered. They want to be set free. They want to believe that what's going over that book board is from the voice of God. And that's why I take this ministry seriously. So I don't like ministering when I'm not right, because, amen, I don't want anybody to see God differently. And so sometimes when I should speak, I don't. And when I should do things, I don't, because I don't want to ever cause anybody to believe God not to be God, ever. And I don't know if my sister's listening to tell her business, but I remember my baby called me and she's like, Auntie Happy, she said, I'm praying and God is just not moving. And I'm like, wait, what? And she said, I keep praying, but he's not listening. And I said, give me 5 minutes. He's going to listen. So, of course, my sister was mad at me for a long time. But nevertheless, I had to make sure that baby understood God heard her prayers. Never, ever, 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 ever do we want somebody to turn from the things of God because of something we've done. And that's why we have to be quick to repent. That's why we have to have insight on why it's important for us to love and to love one another as we love ourselves. And sometimes because we don't love ourselves is why we can't love other people. That's why it's important for us to get in the Word so that we understand who we are in Him. And when we learn who we are in Him, we will respect Him. And when we respect Him, He will show more of us, more of Him to us. And then you don't want the sin. But many times, like the one that Barnum said, we're not hovering enough in the Word. We're not spending enough time in the Word. We're not doing the things that God would have us to do because we're operating with eyesight and not insight. And so I love that this particular chapter gave us insight. But more importantly, I like that the scenario of this particular passages of scripture, I like how the commentary kind of breaks it down. It first talks about the man was healed. And then Jesus responded to the question without answering it. Did his parents see him? Did he see him? It was for the glory of God. And then of course, the people got mad because they didn't like the way that Jesus healed the man. And so it caused controversy. Well, again, you know, I can just speak for myself, and I hope you take time to ponder, you know, what has gone on in your life that's caused controversy for people believing God actually did what he said he was going to do, even though it defied belief. And so even in the midst of that, how you can have the insight knowing that God delivers and he sets free. This same church that I had to walk away from, but in the beginning when it was right as rain, amen, where I couldn't get enough of it, the motto was praise plus prayer plus obedience equals manifestation. And that was deep for me. Prayer, praise, obedience equals manifestation. You got to praise him without a shadow of a doubt. You got to pray. You got to be obedient to what he says. And how do you know how to be obedient? You got to read his word. And when you read his word, then you want to praise him. And you definitely going to want to pray because you want to talk to him. And then that brings manifestation. Had I given up, I wouldn't have been able to have the car that I really wanted. Nor would I have allowed myself to get it, because I would have talked myself out of it, because it is kind of interesting that I chose this particular car. But I could have had some other ones. But this is what I wanted. And God said that he was going to restore me. All the things that the enemy stole from me, he was going to replace. He was going to give me the desires of my heart. And I don't know if my new queen is listening. She prayed for me, and she said, God is going to amaze you. Because, you know, they were praying for me. The office was praying for me to get a vehicle. And she said, God is going to wow you. And I took that to heart. And so he did. And he did it. And he manifested today with the insurance. Because I didn't have a doubt, because I knew when I found the one that I wanted, I knew that was one that God gave me. But I was challenged because I thought, well, Lord, you know, you gave it to me and I can't get it because I don't have $2,000 to be given to insurance. I don't have $1,000. I barely had $500 for down payment. But nevertheless, amen, he manifested that for me and he wowed me just as we spoke, because our words gave life to the vision that God already has set for me. I just had to walk in and believe. And so for those of you that are pressing God for whatever you're pressing him for, wait and be patient and don't put your mouth on it. Use the insight that he gave you. Don't be spiritually blind. Allow your eyes to be open. Pretend, amen, because I don't think anybody should be putting the dirt on the ground outside on their eyes. But nevertheless, if Jesus do it, that's a whole other thing. But nevertheless, we can anoint our eyes just by our own hands. Like I said last week, I was talking to a woman last week, and she kept talking about all these people coming and praying for it. And God just told me to tell you, baby, you can pray for yourself. We get so caught up in believing that we got to have other people do stuff for us. Mm-hmm. If God said he can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it, he can, and he will. We have to believe. We have to trust. Just be obedient. Remember, we have to pray. We have to praise. We have to be obedient, and the manifestation will come. Now, I can't talk no more time up, so I can't bring that manifestation. So I got to close. But, you know, I'm never, never, never out of talk, but I am out of time. And so please, please, please tune in next week. We'll have another inspiring word, and we'll be excited and doing the things that God has called us to do, because we're going to be encouraged, we're going to be empowered, and we're going to learn something in the process. So make sure you tune in. Now, every Monday night, my granny used to be my favorite number one listener, and so I always close the broadcast with her favorite song. And praise God, she went to be with the Lord in November. And so sometimes it gets a little difficult to even listen to this song, but it's getting better. But I always close the broadcast where every praise belongs to him, because it does. And so I want you to tune in again next week, where we'll have another inspiring word. But more importantly, I want you to always remember that you have to start your day with prayer. You have to pray throughout your day, and you have to end your day with prayer. Read John 9 and allow God to marinate that in your heart and in your mind, why it is important for us to have insight versus just depending totally on our eyesight. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
is to our God.